Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
I mean, just listen to him. Wow.
Just a ridiculous night there at Goodison Park. Just blazing all coming over now to our end. I'll drive the corner, he's getting his shirt away. I mean, just listen to this. Black Cloud Bar's over here now with a charlatan. Just a ridiculous night, absolutely insane. Alex Iwobi, 19 plus 8 or 9 it must have been. Wow, what a massive, massive night. I mean, those last few minutes just felt absolutely sick, thinking Newcastle were going to get the equaliser, but I mean, fucking hell. The lads stuck in there. We haven't seen much of that this season, but against the wall. They stuck at it. And they got it. Alex Iwobi, the hero. And again, just have a listen to this. Back very shortly with Mark Moseley to reflect on that. I mean, where did he even fucking start? Yes! Up the top, he's getting.
We're back outside the brick. I'm joined by Mark Moseley. I'm not sure he's got a word in him. I think we're both a bit emotional there, mate, aren't we? It's just one of those nights where when Alan got sent off, you thought it was gone, you thought it was it, and then I mean, fucking hell. We've dug these lads out this season. We've caught them all sorts, but those last 20, 30 minutes, whatever it was, they stuck it in. They gave it everything, and they've got a fucking enormous result for us there.
I'm just glad that your voice is like mine.
Do you mean cracking or gone or both?
I've never known an individual moment in that stadium like that goal tonight. And, you know, I know we championed a goal by Mikel Arteta in a game that ultimately meant absolutely nothing to us, but that meant everything. And the only thing you could say about that moment, the last 15, and in particular the last, what was it, 7 after Alex Iwobi's goal,
was the longest football match in history, that, wasn't it? It's insane.
Just for so many non-handcuff related reasons, it was an unbelievable night. But do you know what, in a game that will not go down in any neutral's memory as being a classic, and it's probably one that Newcastle dominated and looked relatively comfortable on the ball for far too long for anyone's liking, but it just relied on one individual moment, and it always felt for me like a game whereby it was going to take not necessarily a special moment, but just one individual break or one individual lapse, and the other team was probably going to find it pretty difficult to come back because there was a notable lack of firepower. Everything I've just said is bollocks, because the only thing that matters is that Everton have got those 3 points. It's come from such an unlikely source in Alex Iwobi, who's obviously had the point approved pretty much since he came to Everton. And every player around them has been intent on showing that. And we've seen that in the past, haven't we? When Iwobi has produced moments of positivity and the players are straight on his back and looking to get the fans on board. And he's absolutely done that tonight. But from a fan experience point of view, from an emotive point of view, that moment is one that you look around at Goodison Park for that and for the final whistle, and you just think, why on earth are we ever leaving this building? Because that was just electric.
I mean, people here think, going down, are we fucked, still in the cup now? I don't feel like elated, or it just feels like all the bad emotion that's been festering in me throughout this season.
Yeah.
And listen, we're not out of it yet. I think we all know that, but it felt like all the bad emotion that's been festering over the last few weeks and seeing the team perform as poorly as they had, like, it all just came out in that moment there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, oh shit, we've got another 10 minutes to go here. Yeah. Before we've got to keep these out. But I mean, you sit at that end. I mean, just talk us through that final moment, because it, you know, from our end it looked like Dom got the ball sort of stuck under his feet, and then it just somehow found his way to Alex Iwobi. And do you know what, mate? I don't know why, but you always have that flash in your head, don't you, of a player going through on goal, and you think they're going to score here or they're going to miss me. And as soon as it fell to me, I thought, I fancy him.
He scores. I just
thought he's going to finish this. And listen, he didn't have the best game. Fair to the lad, he ran his bollocks off again tonight, playing on that right hand side. But I mean, fucking hell, he's done it. He's in Everton focal. I mean, if we stay up this season now, we will look back on this night and go, that was the moment things started to turn.
I want to get my season tickets in the Iwobi end at Bramley Moor. But yeah, I mean, when he picks up on the ball, he does the thing that we've all been crying out for Alex Iwobi to do in an Everton shirt, and that's pick the ball up in central areas of the pitch and run at the opposition's back four. And that will always terrify opposition players in the same way that it absolutely terrified us down at Tottenham a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, we haven't got the notable quality to rival players like Son and Kane in doing that, but as soon as he picks up the ball and starts asking questions of the back four, and he's actually got a target man in someone like Calvert-Lewin, who...
It's a great layoff, by the way. It's absolutely perfect.
Albeit plays a small part in the goal, but I look around at other attacking players in the Everton squad and think, well, even Richarlison, for everything that he offers, does he have the composure and the lack of selfishness in that moment to square a little side ball? And as you say, when it falls to Alex Iwobi, I know this will sound absolutely crazy for anyone who's ever seen this man play football, but there was a moment of quiet suspense and time-stopping clarity where we all knew that Alex Roby was going to find that bottom corner.
And it's weird, isn't it?
I can't tell you why that was the case.
And I'm not even saying that now in hindsight. But as soon as it went to him, like I said, everyone sort of took that collective breath and you thought, he's going to finish this.
There was that kind of apologetic moment of resignation from the keeper. If you watch it back, he doesn't even really stretch a massive arm out. And whether he's a closet Evertonian or he just knows that that ball has beaten him, I don't know. But it was just... Honestly, there'll be more important goals that are hopefully more important goals for far more positive reasons that are scored, be it at Goodison Park or Bramley Moor, but that is one of the iconic moments in Everton's recent history. I mean, and that's pathetic, I know, talking about a relegation battle, but we were talking about this before the game in terms of have we got a set of players or an individual player or hopefully an entire squad who are capable of making themselves immortal over the next 10 weeks. Moments like that are probably a good step towards it. And as much as I don't really care about the next few weeks, obviously 25 points or wherever we're on at the moment is not going to be enough. But I think the thing that you said about not being totally elated, it's probably because you know that there's a lot of more work to do. The reason that I am...
I mean, I am really.
I know, but... for the sake of dramatics, the reason that we're not going totally over the top here is... Obviously, there is more work to be done, but I think the important thing tonight was that we quite simply didn't get beat. And I know that the red card changes it, and you know a point becomes something that we're all a lot more content with. But going into the game tonight, if anyone was offered a point, you automatically cut off that medium of momentum, don't you? And I know we said at the weekend that momentum isn't everything, and each individual game is going to have to be treated on an isolated basis, but. What does that do for all of us stand outside here? What does that do for Alex Iwobi? What does it do for every other Everton player, including Richarlison, who was behind the goal celebrating when Iwobi scored, which was absolutely insane, having been substituted off 5 minutes earlier. Just an unbelievable moment in a match where, if for no other reason, it felt like the referee's performance, and it's obviously not something that we're going to look back and dwell on, thankfully, now because the result went in our way, but that was one of the worst officiating performances that we've had in the Premier League, and we've had some absolute shitbags this season.
I mean, I just you say about Richarlison there, I just want to talk about, I mean, what was going on around you when that went in? I mean, there's a fella who just appeared next to me on my left hand side. Like, who are you? How did you end up on my row?
The first time that I managed to look at the pitch, which I appreciate was probably about 30 seconds after the goal, there was two fellas getting arrested on the halfway line. I thought someone's had a great time when that goal went in.
That must be a record for Goodison for arrest tonight, because the lad who protested got arrested. The lad who came on to bang out the protester got arrested. There's about three or four people on the pitch at the end that must have got arrested.
Just a night of... The only thing that really relates to that is that for people who've been to European nights and you know, late finishing cup matches at Goodison, it feels like we just enter this alternate Everton reality where time doesn't mean anything anymore. And quite frankly, if the game went until 1 a.m, no one would be surprised. It certainly had that feel tonight. For anyone who knows the Park End or has sat there before, you'll know that a polite round of applause and a quick trot back to the halfway line is the characteristic celebration. But that was absolutely insane. Absolutely incredible. Moving rows in the Park End is not something that is reserved for small feats, but that was one tonight. And we said before the Wolves game at the weekend that this was... disappointingly one of the biggest weeks in Everton history, and that's going into games against Wolves and Newcastle and Crystal Palace. And it doesn't sound like much, but if you could hear what we're hearing outside the Brick Pub, outside Goodison Park tonight,
flags waved,
you'll know that it means absolutely everything.
I mean, people will be able to hear that from the end, and you could see what it meant to people like Seamus Coleman and Ben Godfrey at the end there as well coming over. But I mean, the thing I loved about the goal, I've just sort of seen the celebrations back then, is a Werby and Calvert-Lewin sort of do like
so calm.
Their calm pose celebration, and Anthony Gunn just legs it past them and wants to jump into the crowd, and Richarlison's in that end. But I mean, Gordon is someone I want to speak about, because I think he had a tough role tonight. He was sort of played as a number 10 to sit on that Guimaraes and sort of stifle him from getting the ball and putting it around. And I mean, that game must have been about 110 minutes in the end there by the time it finished, and that lad, he put the weight of that team on the shoulders. He charged after everything, he carried the ball forward. There was a little moment before we actually scored when he got in, didn't he, and
tried to win a penalty. You think he probably just put his body across the marker a bit too much, but yeah. There's been so much responsibility put upon that lad recently, and you know, the fans cheering his name every week. He's the person that people are looking to on the ball, and he's at the end there, he was absolutely fucked, like, in regards to physically, but yeah. He's shouldering it, isn't he? And he's not there yet, he's not the finished article yet, but it just, you feel a bit more comforted knowing that there's one of us out there, there's an Evertonian out there who's willing to put every single thing on the pitch for this team.
The thing I was going to say about him just before you said that last sentence was he's able, and it's not everything, and technical ability is definitely required, and luckily he has it, but he is able of channeling, in particular, a home crowd, and he knows exactly what's required. And you mentioned the moment where he went down on the penalty area. He knows exactly what is needed from that moment, and it's be direct, get in the box, and try and shit out your team a penalty so you can win a crucial game. And rightly or wrongly, that's all you want your tricky, pacey winger to do, isn't it? Just be an absolute nightmare for the opposition. And it feels like he's capable of doing that whilst, as you say, almost being that. I'm not going to say a senior presence, because he clearly isn't and shouldn't
be in
that
team.
He's
just a physical presence all the time.
Certainly, if the game I always think back to with Anthony Gordon is the Brentford away game, where for me he just totally lacked maturity. Him and Luca Dean had an absolute nightmare. There was no final product, and there was no real substance to his play or him as a man on the football pitch. He's a real physical presence now, and I assume that is something that he and Everton have worked on in terms of bulking him up a bit and being that important physical figure, which you just quite frankly have to be in this league. But the way he is able to know when to rally the crowd up, I think on the flip side of that, when it is going badly and Alan does get sent off, I can even in a very short spell of his career, I can think of times where he'd kind of go off on one, go missing for 10 or 15 minutes, probably put a rash challenge of his own in and probably go missing. There is no opportunity or no desire for this lad to go missing in football games.
He
went and
played centre mid for a bit, didn't he, after Alan got sent off?
It's very much a needs-must mentality to him. And I'm not gonna dig the Mardi Gras into the ground here, but there was a real sense of two wingers who it probably wasn't coming off for tonight, but one of them just knows Everton and knows absolutely what was needed tonight. And you know, Damari Gray will have much better games than he did tonight, but when I saw his number go up and not Anthony Gordon's, there was an enormous drop of the shoulders for me, because I thought he's very quickly become a player who has to be on that football pitch. You know, Alan gets sent off in the centre midfield and we have to forego a inverted commas luxury player, and we pick off £50 million Richarlison over Anthony Gordon. I mean, and that's everything you need to know about the progress he's made this season.
Yeah, he's been ridiculous, and I think I've not seen the red card back again yet, really. I'll be honest, in real time I looked at him and thought he's gone here. I sort of thought that the VAR would come up, and I said to my dad, I think he's going to be lucky to stay on the pitch here, but I've not seen it again, so I don't really know. It looked dead rash to me, but I mean, it's instant reaction. We'll come and speak about that later in the week. But I think from that point, before that point, I think Everton were pretty poor, to be honest. I think they were imprecise. I think the occasion got to them, the pressure got to them, and I think Newcastle were the better team. And then I think as soon as that change went, and sort of the objective became a bit clear in regards to right, it's weird because the objective all of a sudden became right, we need to get a point here, and by doing that, by doing the basics a little bit better, and by getting our shape and by frustrating them, it gave us a platform to sort of go on and get more chances then. And I think in those latter stages, I think you've got to give credit to Michael Keane, who kept Chris Wood quiet pretty much all night.
Yeah.
I think Mason Holgate was really good as well. Bella went out being a leader. I think Begovic, a bit dicey at times, but was quite good under the high ball. But I think that back four has had a lot of stick recently. And listen, it's not solved by any means tonight. But I think in that spell where they brought on Saint-Maximin, you're thinking, fucking hell, yeah, there we go. Seamus Coleman's going to have a nightmare. It's going to be tough for them. Be properly dug in. And I think, you know, we've already talked about Gordon, we've spoken about the worry, but them playing in the wide positions really mucked in at that point, and both of them were really flagging. And I think from that point on, from the red card to the final whistle, I think we were really, really good.
Yeah, do you know what? The thing that you said there about Everton not being particularly good, and I think I said it at the start of the show as well, and it's mad how that at a time where this all means so much, there's going to be so much football in the next 10 games that means absolutely nothing. And, you know, for large spells of tonight, we were under pressure, and we go back to individual moments, don't we, in terms of, as you say, you know, Begovic possibly dropping a late cross at the end, and I think everyone's heart were in the mouth at that stage. But I'm not sure.
I was
about
to be sick. The last 6 minutes, then.
Oh, instant migraine.
It was horrific. That.
Yeah.
I was just convinced that they were going to score. And do you know what the mad thing was? No one knew how long was left, because there's 14 minutes added on, and then obviously
loads
we scored.
Stoppages,
and obviously we scored, and there's loads of celebrations. Gordon went down. There's loads of injury time, and I was sort of going, how long's left to go here? Yeah. And it was no one had a fucking clue what was going on.
It was just. Like, I can't even tell you the 11 players who finished on the
we're gonna have
10 because the 10 yeah, well, do you know what, very good point to go back to it, because the shithouse move that I like about, whether it's an Everton only thing or something that happens in every Premier League stadium at the moment, is replaying tackles after VAR overturned red card decisions. And certainly for my money, that is, yes, a cynical foul, and we all absolutely know what Alan's doing, and I'll be the first one to hold my hand up and say I've been waiting for an Everton player to do that to a player like Alan Saint-Maximin for absolutely years. I'm not talking about deliberately injuring a player, which clearly wasn't the motive, but just being ruthless in that tackle at a time where he knew his team absolutely needed it.
I just thought it was just a bit too reckless.
Certainly from what I saw in a glimpse of anger looking at the screen to my right in the park end, it looked as though it was very much more ankle as opposed to shin or knee.
But you can't do that. I mean, we haven't seen it back, have we?
No, so. Absolutely not. No, and I'm sure it'll get ridiculed later on. But I certainly looked at that in live and looking back in slow motion as well, as saying that is, yes, an incredibly poor, cynical foul. But is it? I mean, what does it go down as a red card, reckless foul play, or whatever the fuck the definition is at the moment? it didn't cross that boundary for me in terms of being that dangerous. And you know what, it's clearly subjective, and Everton fans, as you'll see here, are clearly divided on it. The disappointing thing from Alan's point of view now is obviously the suspension. We've gone from hoping for a three-man midfield to begging for just a one-man midfield, which is quite disappointing.
Again, I'm not sure, again, everything we say on this might be proved to be irrelevant, but I think now the FA Cup is kept separate, isn't it, from the league in regards to suspension. So
I'm not sure if I'm happy about that.
You might be able to play on a
but even looking at that game on Sunday, and I know that, you know, the nature of the predicament that we're in is that you take every game in isolation, but at least we can go down on Sunday, and do you know what, there's nothing free hit about the FA Cup for Everton, because it means a lot to us, and we've been craving a trophy. We've been deliberating for decades about, would you take a trophy and get relegated, all this awful, awful narrative that we give ourselves just to give ourselves a brief glimpse of glory. If we are able to go down to Selhurst Park and take some element of positivity from tonight, I think honestly, looking at that at Sunday, and certainly from two fans here who were going down to Selhurst Park, I'd have been treating that as a write-off on Sunday if we'd have taken a beating here tonight.
Well, I don't know about you. Before the game, we were like, why are we doing this? Yeah. Now it's like, yes, let's go. You
know,
everyone's going to be bouncing to that stadium on Sunday.
And imagine for a group of players who are still probably bopping along to awful music in the dressing room, they'll be absolutely craving that moment and feeling some form of, you know, we talk about pride in the Everton shirt, and as much as we all feel that, far more than any Everton player will, I just want them to look like they're enjoying it. And maybe on Sunday, on the back of a good result, and on, you know, looking forward to a 2-week international break, maybe we'll just get an Everton team which, for the first time since September, are able to play with a little bit of freedom,
yeah,
drop the shoulders a bit, and just go out there and do what they're good at. And hopefully, you know, we long for this eternal turning point, be it a Phil Neville tackle or some knobhead chaining himself to the Gladys Street goal. You know, whatever it takes at the moment to just create some form of chaos, maybe for ourselves, but more importantly for the opposition, we'll all cling on to it. And it's a quite frankly unbelievable night of football, and you know, one of those moments that we were starting to get into those latter stages of Goodison Park years, thinking how many more of these are we going to see. That was a massive one, and hopefully it's not the last one in the Premier League.
I mean, there's someone walking on the break of a seat here. Take a leave out of our book, actually, mate, from Anfield all those years ago.
Yeah, we didn't talk about
that. but there was just, it was such an uneventful game, but on so many little moments here. I mean, the lad who ran on to hit the protester after he'd been released and then got arrested himself.
His first game since Lyon at home, apparently.
But you wouldn't have seen this from where you sit, but it was after we'd scored and they went out for a goal kick, and like after we'd gone ahead, obviously the Gladys Street was keeping the ball, like fans
the shot that went behind the goal.
Yeah, the fans were keeping the ball, and then it went out again, and Mason Holgate came over to the Gladys Street and was like saying to the fans, keep hold of the ball, just take your time.
There's another one with Begovic from that goal kick. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's had a bit of tussle with, not Fraser, he'd gone off, but another of Newcastle United's midfielders, and Calvert-Lewin just drags him straight off the pitch into the Bullards Row just to cause some form of delay. And I think, Joe, we talked long and hard about Everton managing important moments of games, and as much as we talk about the fact that that was quite a long stint in terms of the 7 or 8 minutes after the goal,
yeah,
other than ourselves creating something out of nothing, there wasn't really anything that Everton had to do. And I think a lot of that was down to Anthony Gordon going down injured, you know, Calvert-Lewin, the fans, Mason Holgate, any one of those things that you want to point at. We managed to make that all about us, all about celebrating the last 7 minutes of a game that we absolutely needed to win. And you know what? Newcastle have done their bit. They've got themselves out of it. I want to see Everton go away to a Premier League team in early May, late April, and do and have the night that their fans have had, where they just have a nice time, don't give really a shit about the results, and just jog off back knowing that the other team just wanted it far more than them, and we're going to be on that side of it hopefully very soon.
I mean, all those lads with the T-Rexes, bless them, long way back for them tonight, especially with Jordan Pickford not playing.
Oh, so was Andy
Divies, yeah. Any of them listening, hope your journey's going well. But yeah, we'll leave it there. Just aghast at what happened there, Goodison Park tonight.
Alexander Iwobi.
Never doubted him. Never thought we'd go down, mate.
Oh, I will come back at you in four games.
Bring on the 5 a.m. start for Palace. Oh. But unbelievable night, unbelievable moment. And now, surely Everton, it's got to start turning around after that. The momentum accrued from that. Everyone else here singing. Thursday night, I think anyone's going home. There are seats, there are flags, there are bevies all over the place, but we will leave it there. Cheers to Mosey. And we'll be back. We'll be back later in the week. We'll be back at Palace on Sunday. Hopefully celebrating a little trip to Wembley. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there? But cheers for listening. Up those fucking toffees. And we'll speak to you again soon.
Something you probably do know. Progressive can not only offer you a great price when you bundle home and auto, they offer you round-the-clock protection. Something you probably don't know. The average garage door is made up of 1.3-millimeter aluminum panels. Something you probably do know. Your neighbor likes to tinker with his dirt bike. Something you probably don't know. A runaway dirt bike can take out your garage door and a good portion of your car bumper. Bundle your home and auto with Progressive and get more than a great price. Get round-the-clock protection. Something you know for the things you don't know. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and third-party insurers, and subject to policy terms. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.